From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 598, Storage Migration Service with guest Ned Pyle. Recorded Friday, July 20th, 2018. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio. Bringing back one of my favorite people, Ned Pyle. He's a 10-year Microsoft veteran. That's not true. You're at least an 11-year Microsoft veteran. Maybe a 12?
14-year.
14 years. This is what happens. You put years into your bio. Is you can't.
Oh, God. I feel awful now.
I really don't think you do. But principal program manager still?
Still a principal program manager. I've only been principal for, you know, some couple of years now.
A couple of years here and there.
Takes a while to get your way out of principal.
Yeah, no, it's a good role. And a role you're also good at, sir, I might appreciate.
Oh, thank you.
And of course, responsible for all the remote file protocols, storage replica, SMB, DFSR, scale-up file server. You write your blog on server storage, which I read when you post.
Oh, really?
An all-around awesome guy. So, what more can I say about that than I'm a fan?
You should tell my wife all this stuff. I'm really impressive sounding right now.
You sound amazing. Hey, you know, the last show we did together, which was roughly a year ago, August of 2017, we talked about turning on SMB1 and got a bunch of comments from that. You know, people care about SMB1. And it was, of course, the timing was impeccable because there was WannaCry and all that other greatness. And this particular comment comes from George Chadzitsky. And I hope I got your name right there, George. I apologize if I didn't. Who said, it's probably worth mentioning SMB Loris at smblorus.com. Was discovered while researching the Eternal Blue exploit dumps, which is sort of the stuff from WannaCry and NotPetya and so forth. Admittedly, George made that comment about a year ago, and if you haven't looked at SMB Loris, I'll give you the link, but it's just talking about an exploit against the SMB protocol. You must be familiar with this. This is your area of expertise, as I recall.
Yeah, it was a denial of service,
right,
where you could create many, 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 many thousands of unauthenticated connections that you never bothered to complete,
right,
in the normal SMB fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And you could, if you did that enough and you had not enough RAM, you could cause the server to stop responding.
Right.
So the actual original filing of it was rejected as something to create a security update out of, because it wasn't considered to be, like, there's, you know, denial of service attack ones. I don't know what the criteria is that the security folks use all the time. They make the final decisions on backporting fixes, right?
Right.
But it wasn't considered critical enough.
Because if you go searching on this, they do talk about the fact that they said this back in 2017.
Yeah. So what we did on our side, on the future-facing side of it, is we went and added this new type of protection inside of Windows starting in, I'm going to say RS3, which was the 1709 version,
right,
release. That timing sounds about right in my head. And we added a mechanism inside that defeats this. So it's no longer a problem.
Cool. But no energy around going back through, you know, down to XP versions and...
Not yet.
No.
No one has... I mean, the actual Loris attack itself never actually became a thing.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot of, you know, desire to go back and fix a thing that wasn't a thing.
It never actually became a thing. Exactly.
Yeah. Denial services are interesting, but they're oftentimes, like, there's so much more money to be made not denying service that way, but instead, you know, getting inside of a system and then copying data.
Actually stealing things?
Stealing stuff or making data into a ransom and things like that. And it's so easy to block this.
Yeah.
Like, even if you didn't have the fix, it was easy to block. I mean, there was it just probably didn't meet somebody's bar somewhere. And it still irritated me enough that we went ahead and made it a non-issue in later OSs,
right,
in case somebody weaponized it and made it more interesting.
Yeah.
And then we could backport that if we had to.
Right. So you do have a solution. It's just a question of cost and doing retros and all of that.
Yeah, that stuff's super expensive. You got to go back. I was at Ready and Inspire all this week in Las Vegas. And I actually went to a session from our servicing team, you know, whom I've been working with my entire Microsoft career. But I learned a bunch of stuff from them.
Neat.
You know, they actually had a session about how they do hotfix and, remediation going back to old OSs, and they explained their costs and their timings, and they had some amazing statistics and stuff. Like their regression rate was, people always think like, oh, if I install Microsoft Hotfix, I'll have a regression. I'm not going to do it. Their regression rate was like 0.5%.
Wow.
But it really is an enormous amount of work and energy and testing and stuff. So I have a newfound sort of appreciation for when they say, like, we can't fit that one in, or it's not meeting the bar because we've got other stuff going on. I'm like,
the other stuff they got going on is pretty serious.
Yeah, I would wave my fist like a customer in the past, and now sure. I'm like, ooh, I don't want your job at all.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Those guys are doing, you know, they're focused on the things that they can see are most important, because they've got such an umbrella view from all of that reporting across all those machines to see these are the crises we have to deal with.
Gotcha.
And thanks so much for feeding back on that. And George, thank you for your comment. A Run As Radio mug is on its way to you. And if you'd like a Run As Radio mug, write a comment on the website at runasradio.com or via any of the social medias. I publish every show to Google+, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And if you comment there and I read it on the show, I'll send you a mug. And you've got a mug. Have I sent you a mug, Ned?
I don't think you said. I want a mug.
I'll get you a mug. I like my guests to have mugs. That's the right thing to do.
We've been talking for a long time.
I think
I'd probably rate a mug just in general.
Oof. Yeah, no, you are very mug worthy, my friend. Absolutely.
Mug worthy.
And let me tell you, I make serious mugs. I don't mess around. More caffeine good, but I make them in 11 colors, all of the Metro colors. We use the Metro palette on the Run As Radio site. And so there's 11 different colors, so we can pick which one you'd like.
Ooh.
We'll have some fun with it. But let's get to work. Let's talk a little. Of course, you are the storage guy. That's why you care about SMB. So what's going on in storage world these days?
So storage world these days, obviously, you know, the writing's on the wall that we've been doing Windows Server 2019.
I've heard a rumor.
Yeah, the rumor is we can't stop talking about it. Anytime you give me 5 seconds, I'll talk about it. So
yep.
Like that was our big, you know, we were pushing that heavy at Ready Inspire. And of course, Ignite's coming up, and you might as well call Ignite Azure/2019 Fest.
Yep.
As you would any other Ignite for whatever thing's going on that year. Tons of stuff going on in storage. Interesting updates to Storage Replica. Some interesting stuff we're doing in SMB that I don't know if we're going to talk about quite yet.
Okay.
And obviously this storage migration service is my big one. That's my really big sort of like Cadillac feature of this release coming out.
And 2019 is like in insider preview now. So if you want to, the bits, you can touch them.
You can totally go. We release a build every 1 to 2 weeks.
Wow.
And then there's the admin center, Windows Admin Center, which I'm sure everybody's heard of by now, which is our new web-based management for Windows Server 2012
right.
and 2019. And I think they're talking about making it work against 2008. And those things, Windows Admin Center puts out a new flight every week or two, and Server puts out a new flight every week or two. And between them, there's a whole bunch of stuff coming out inside of clustering, management, migration. The 2008 thing is kind of key point to me is 2008 server support ends in January of 2020.
Right.
So about 18 months now.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're not started on your planning for 2008 ending its support right now, you're already probably in deep crap.
You need to hurry. Yeah, you are behind.
Yeah, so when that thing goes out, I mean, that's a huge percentage of servers right now.
Still, yeah.
It's very significant. It might even still be, from the server side, the largest single OS body.
Wow.
Although it's been a shrinking rate. 2012 is pretty popular.
Do you put 2008 R2 in that same can?
Yeah, whenever I say it, I can't be bothered to say both of them.
Okay.
Really, almost nobody runs 2008, truly. They run 2008 R2, which is very, very popular. Very popular.
Right. But, and that's part of, I think, one of the reasons is like, it was a bloody good version of the server. Like, it just worked.
Yeah. Real solid. Was our first, like, full 64-bit only.
Right.
It has a really nice driver base. You know, it's pretty lean and fast. I mean, it's in the time before we started doing really sort of modern file and storage services. But if you were in that time and didn't need those things, it's a great application server. People were like, oh, this is working for me.
Yeah.
But it's been, you know, it's getting close to 10 years now.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff's gone on in the world since then.
There's been some things.
A few things have happened.
This whole cloud thing became a thing.
Cloud thing happened. So we made a big announcement about that. So there's a big, crazy announcement that went out a couple of days ago, a week ago,
mm-hmm.
that if you do need to keep running 2008, like you've got some app on there that the vendor, you know, packed up shop and went away, and it's going to be a while for you to replace it, or if you're working on a replacement, it's just not going to be ready in time.
Mm-hmm.
You can run 2008 as long as you move those servers into Azure as IaaS workloads for 3 years with extended security update support as if you had bought a custom support agreement.
Wow, that's a cool offer, actually.
So it's a pretty good offer. For three years, you're getting what amounts to giant air quotes free. Extended security updates.
Because you're obviously paying for the VMs and so forth.
Yeah, of course. You're putting it into, you know, it went from costing you whatever it costs you to run on-prem to costing you whatever runs on Azure. And that may,
right.
That difference may not be free anymore.
Well, but your on-prem is no longer supported.
Yeah. That January day is, I forget what day it is, in 2020. After that day, if you want a hotfix, and you only want to stay on-prem, you'll have to have a CSA, and those things start at like 500 grand or some
wow.
insane number.
Yeah, when the U.S. Navy calls and says, we're going to keep running this old version, you just send them a bill and they pay it.
Yeah. Whenever it's somebody else's taxpayer money, all of those customers of ours definitely get multi-million dollar CSAs because they're not really paying for them. We are.
Right, great. Yeah, that's got to be fun to sell, knowing it's going to be essentially coming out of your own pocket.
Yeah.
So still talking about the storage migration service. So is this about getting off of 2008?
It's about getting off of 2003.
Oh, man. Is that still a thing?
And 2008. It's still a thing. In fact, by my estimates and my digging, 2003 might still be living in there in the double digits range worldwide.
Wow.
Maybe hovering around 10 or 12%.
You know, as a web performance geek, the 2003 R2 server was hard to touch millisecond for web transactions. Like, it was a smoking OS. Very lean network stack. Like, it was tough to beat. And I would have to go back now and look at the latest 2016 numbers, see if we can actually run it up. Although, nobody cares about saving those kinds of pennies. Just stick it in the cloud and add more.
Right, of course.
Yeah. But, yeah, still some 2003 out there. Now, that's an old OS.
Yeah, so there's 2003, 2008. I would consider 2012 old, but then again, I consider 2019 old. So the big thing going on is here's the thing about the storage migration service is its entire purpose is to migrate all of your unstructured data off of old Windows.
Okay.
2012 or 2002. Or 2003, and be really, really fast and have perfect fidelity.
Hmm.
When people are copying data by hand and using RoboCopy and stuff, what they don't realize is they're actually losing a ton of data.
Really?
They're losing metadata. They're losing certain aspects and alternate streams of data. They're not able to copy certain types of data at all. They just won't budge on them. And so one of the main goals of the storage migration service is, okay, we're going to get all of your data. We're going to get it off of the oldest machines we can think of. We're going to get it in a very scalable and fast way. We're going to take care of all the complexity. So instead of you sitting there figuring out the 20 or million things that need to go right for a server migration to happen, we'll take care of all that. So we'll take care of your data, but also your shares. And the security around that data and those shares. And if the files are in use. And if you, the person running this tool, don't have access to the files directly. And if you've got all types of bizarre attributes or encryption or compressed files or alternate data streams, all the network addresses. Think about all the ways you contact a server.
Right.
IP address.
Yeah.
host name, DNS name, NetBIOS name, CNAME, alternate computer names. There's like a dozen ways to get to it. We will get all of them. All of that aspects of stuff we will bundle up. So we'll inventory your system, find all that, transfer all the data, and then apply all of that extra contact information. And so that when you're done, I like to say it's like we were never there.
Right.
So you end up with a user or an application can't tell is no longer the same server they were talking to yesterday.
Okay.
That's the goal.
Just like a physical to virtual migration, right, with Hyper-V.
Yes, except that it's still whatever to whatever.
Right.
And so we start with SMB in this first release. We're mainly getting off of Windows onto Windows.
Right.
You know, modern Windows, still using classic file server, you know, popular common file server constructs like SMB.
Mm-hmm.
The version we're working on now, because we're really almost done with this and we're starting to think more about the next version, we will do the same for probably NFS and Samba. So if you're using some appliance, it's not Windows anymore.
Right.
It's some Linux kernel with some, oftentimes I have found, really old version of Samba on it. And you want to migrate that data to a modern Windows or migrate that data to an Azure file share or something like that, we will support that as well.
Nice.
And then eventually we're going to get to not Windows and not Linux, which is the SAN and NAS market.
Love it. Ned, give me one moment here to relay this very important message.
You've got Windows, Windows 7, and Windows 10. They're domain-joined and non-domain-joined. They're on-premises and always on the go. And it's your job to make them more secure. But stay calm. That's why you've got Policy Pack. Policy Pack increases your Windows security with your on-premises and roaming PCs. Remove local admin rights, manage all the security settings in your browsers in Java, and tame the Windows 10 start screen and taskbar. Got machines out in the field without the latest group policy settings? Then use Policy Pack Cloud or your own MDM service to deploy real group policy settings to those machines, only with Policy Pack. Get your free trial today and learn a secret weapon that hundreds of administrators use to manage and secure their Windows 7 and 10 desktops, both on-premises and out in the field. Head over to policypack.com to get started today. Policy Pack, securing your standards.
And we're back. It's Ned Pyle here with me, Richard Campbell. It's Run As Radio, talking about the storage migration service. So I can migrate from old Windows boxes, and you're now saying there'll be new versions for non-Windows devices as well. But what can I migrate to?
Right now, you can migrate to as old as 2012.
Okay.
So 2012, 2016, and 2019 as targets.
Right.
You can migrate without doing the full range of cutover and really assuming all the identity. In theory, we will probably support Azure Files directly pretty soon. But what I really want people to do instead, because I think Azure Files as a direct target for customers is not yet as interesting as Azure File Sync targets are. Azure File Sync, we just went GA on a couple of days ago. And if you haven't heard about it, you take regular Windows servers that are living all over your branches and main offices, and you add what amounts to an agent to them called the AFS sync agent. And it turns all of your servers into bottomless, like cached, tiered, replicated pits of data in Azure.
Wow.
So instead of saying like, oh, put all your data into Azure directly, which sounds great, except you start running into issues of latency and capabilities and what Azure Files is capable of doing today versus, you know, what Windows File Service is doing today. It's very different. Instead, why bother? Just, you have file servers, they're on-prem, you like them.
Yep.
Have your users keep contacting them or mapping drives or having applications talk to them. And then they, unbeknownst to users, are taking that data, hot, cold data, tiering, sending old data that no one's accessed up into Azure. So basically increasing the storage availability of it from 10 terabytes to infinite terabytes. And then being able to sync that up with multiple servers. So, you know, the cloud piece becoming the truth and then say five branch offices all replicating via Azure to each other. But the user experience doesn't change. So you're not making users go off to Azure directly at all.
Right.
You're just letting your file servers do it on their behalf as if they're basically edge appliances.
I like that because, you know, all of that stuff around allocating new drive volumes and things we did all those years ago, this was all semantics. The users never understood that or cared.
Yeah. I mean, they don't know. I mean, I would assume your standard user, unless they watch business TV advertising, has never heard of Azure.
Right.
So they're mostly just interested in, I have a share that IT gave me where my data is, and it's still there, and nothing changed, because change is bad.
Right. It just works. I just have it available.
Right.
Don't have to think about it. You know, there it is. Anything special in the security models? Like, it's still all Active Directory, ACLs, and some claims?
When you're using Azure File Sync, and when you're using Storage Migration Service, you're still relying on the local on-prem security systems to work normally. And then, so like if I'm doing migrations, I'm still using Active Directory to contact servers. And I'm actually taking over the domain memberships of them as well. I do that cutover, and my old source computer, even its Active Directory computer object, gets snatched away by my destination. And the old one gets renamed and put into some, you know, basically only the administrator could find it anymore. The interesting part about Azure File Sync is, you know, they're keeping track of all that stuff themselves up front, because there's no Active Directory in Azure. There's Azure AD, but there's no, like, your Active Directory is not available there. So they're keeping track of all that security,
right,
and things that you're doing to your files on-prem, and then stuffing that all up as extra metadata when they're replicating things around, so it isn't lost. If you put things into Azure Files right now, today, it's a pretty flat sort of namespace. It doesn't have Kerberos or ACLs and things. And that's why Azure File Sync is so lovely, is
right.
It's hiding all of that in front of you.
So, and if I'm listening properly, then I don't actually have to have Azure Active Directory to be able to use the Azure File?
I'd be very surprised if they're not using Azure Active Directory on the back end for identity, for the tenants, for all the management of the thing.
Right.
But I don't believe you're actually tying it to individuals in any sort of fashion or doing any kind of like the usual like AD Connect or anything like that. Don't quote me on that.
Right.
I'm sure that you can talk and read their documentation and find out. But I don't recall that being any of their story. That it wasn't anything that you were thinking about too strongly, I don't believe.
Right. That makes sense. And so that I can see why the migration tool is so useful, because now you have this idea of, I've found the files related to this particular set of users' needs, and now I have these choices for where I want to put them, whether it's, you know, back on a more modern server or up in a completely different sort of platformy service rather than owning a VM.
Yeah. One of my goals, and we're going to try and slip it in at the last minute here with the storage migration service, is you get done, you start with 2003 or 2008, you end up on this 2019 server or servers. I mean, it will do lots of servers at one time if you wish.
Right.
And then when I'm done at the end of that, it says like, hey, we just migrated all this data. You're on 2019. You want to just go and turn on Azure File Sync now and get this going?
Right.
And so one of the short-term goals would simply be just to take you to that process, you know, quickly, so you would know about it. And the long-term goal would be like, you know, we know everything you just did about shares.
Right.
We could literally turn this on for you right now and do everything for you if you press the do everything button. And that kind of thing probably won't be there for Ignite, I'll be honest.
Okay. Well,
but that'll be something coming along, because we are basically sister teams in the same org.
The goal seems to make sense. You're doing the clever bit of this migration service is your ability to discover everything on those older machines.
Yeah.
So once you have that knowledge, there's a ton of stuff we could do with that. This is a great opportunity to do some little security audit, like what's the attack surface, what's the availability.
Yeah, you're reading my mind on this, Richard. I mean, you know, right now the first stage of storage migration service doesn't have agents on the source.
Right.
It's not doing it. It's not doing any machine learning. It's not sitting there and trying to figure out, you know, maybe they want to do like a cold data migration or something like that.
Yeah.
But of course, all of that stuff is in my list of things that would be awesome. And if I have an agent in SMS and I have the agent of Azure File Sync,
right,
and we have all of this, you know, constant metadata collection from filter drivers that can store the truth away for analysis, you could have data governance. You could have your auditing thing. You could have a million pieces of useful information for the customer to use. Entire services could be spawned from that knowledge.
Sure.
That you could use yourself to say, like, I did a migration and I came out of it knowing exactly what all my data was and how it gets used. And then I gave it all to Azure File Sync, and then it's told me about how it got used for the next year, how people actually used it and what was hot and what was cold.
Right.
All that stuff would be there, and it would be, I mean, fascinating and useful data to decide. You could start deciding like procurement options. You could decide if people are sitting there just like, you know, jerking around with stuff that's clearly not work.
You're going to see all that. Yeah. You're going to figure out who's got a BitTorrent stash and who's got the largest collection of ASCII porn. And
I am waiting for that request for the reporting from Storage Migration Service and AFS, where they're like, hey, can you remember the old FSRM product? It's still out there.
Right.
The File Server Resource Manager used to tell you stuff like, oh, you got people who are over there watching MP3s, yep, listening to MP3s, and there's no reason they should have that.
Yeah.
That kind of, you know, big brother crap that a company could do is certainly possible, and it's not going to be there right away. But
I did work with a company where we were doing network sniffing, trying to understand, you know, the security profile, and we literally found a BitTorrent server. And, you know, the goal wasn't to, you know, embarrass anybody. We just sort of put out the word in, you know, inside the group. It's like, hey, just so you know, we can see a BitTorrent server running somewhere. Everyone knows that, like, these are the rules, and, like, that's kind of outside of our normal spectrum of what we should be doing. And it mysteriously disappeared in a day, which is all I actually wanted, right? It's like, we kind of have to get this traffic off the network. There's a problem.
I hear you.
I don't have a problem with good surveillance. In fact, we have a responsibility in IT to understand what's going on inside of our company networks. But, you know, it's what you do from there, having a little grace to give people a chance to understand, you know, we kind of can see some things and you probably want to make that go away.
Right, yeah. Anyway, so this thing's coming out.
Yep.
In 2019, the Storage Migration Service, I'm really pleased with it. I mean, we really ran really hard and fast and had some pretty long nights and weekends working on it because we started working on this in this new world of 6-month milestones.
Right.
Where we showed up kind of, you know, not able to fully realize using all the milestones, you know, these in-between phases where you're gathering up towards one of these long-term servicing releases.
Right.
You know, we weren't exactly on the same pace. We really had to really work kind of extra hard compared to most teams. And I'm really, really pleased with how the product's turning out. I did a big demo. Jeff Woolsey, you know Jeff Woolsey.
Yep, been on the show before.
Oh, yeah. So he did a big demo at Ready, big packed house room of 2019, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people in the room. And he did the demo. He did my demo of Storage Migration Service, and it got some pretty good applause and a little cheering. So I was pretty nice. Happy about that. So you showed it off, and it actually...
People get excited.
People could say, like... The funny comment I usually get after these demos when people come up to ask questions isn't a question that I can do anything about. They all say, hey, I did a migration by hand last year and it was terrible. How come you didn't make this last year? I get about 3 or 4 of those every time we do a demo. So I know we're on the right track. I know we're making something people want.
Yeah. When their only complaint is, I wish I had this sooner.
Yeah. There was one guy who was actually seemed kind of really mad about it. He wasn't joking around. So we kind of stepped off away from him because he seemed kind of upset. But otherwise, it's usually a pretty fun experience.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So this is just part of the Server 2019 preview. This is where, if we want it, just get on the Insiders list and start playing with 2019.
It is part of Insiders preview. Mm-hmm. And the trick about it is Windows Admin Center is out of band. So every single time you install 2019 standard or data center, you have Storage Migration Service. But you don't have a front end.
Okay.
The front end is the extension. It's in the preview extensions area of Windows Admin Center. So if you go install Windows Admin Center, there's a little gearbox in the corner, and you click on that, and it says extensions. And you go there, and you see a list of optional extensions that come from vendors or from other products that are still in preview. And you'll see on their Storage Migration Service, you just click the install button, and then you'll have a node in Windows Admin Center that says, I'm ready to do storage migrations.
Nice. And that's all there is to it. And obviously not production yet.
Oh gosh, no.
Right.
We've like anything we're working on, you know, from time to time we regress badly. I would not use this for anything except just exploring and right. having a good time in your lab.
Yeah, experimentation for now. But it's good to know, I mean, this is where, how you're thinking. And I really appreciate this idea of just having an ability to get a sense of a manifest on a machine. What is there? What would I need to move? You know, if nothing else would help me approximate what a migration would look like. That's cool stuff. And timeline for 2019, when are you going to ship, dude?
Oh, you're looking for the scoop of the century.
Yeah, you know, I am a man completely willing to allow others to destroy their careers. I'm here for you, man.
I'll give you a hint. We always have Ignite.
We always do, don't we? Yeah.
Every year. And every year we have Ignite when we have a new OS coming. It seems like right around there, we make a big announcement about when the OS is coming out.
Right.
So if all of your fans, your many thousands and legions of fans, go to Ignite, they will get all of that news before anybody else. And then...
then we'll all know.
They'll all know. Because 1 second later, it'll be on Twitter.
That's it. Well, you know, I think you stream those keynotes anyway. So, yeah.
There you go.
Other than with the lag of the stream, we'll all know pretty much the same time. But I'll be at Ignite. You'll be at Ignite with 25,000 of our closest friends, right?
Yeah, 25, I think 30,000 this year. I don't know, man. It is so many people.
Well, in that Orlando Conference Center, I'm pretty sure that West Wing is actually in a different time zone. So
it was not as long a hike as it was in Atlanta that year.
Oh, yeah.
Where somebody decided that why have a conference center be in a square when it could be a rectangle? But it was still, this one's big enough. I mean, there's really nowhere that's near just because it's so gigantic. I actually did really enjoy it quite a bit. And I've been to every Ignite ever and all the tech heads and stuff. And it's one of my favorite ones. So it's a really good venue.
It's great. Yeah. And it's a good time. So awesome stuff. And I'm sure the attendee party will be somewhere amazing. I don't know where, but you know, they can rent a whole theme park for a party that big.
Yeah. There's two theme parks to choose from.
Yeah. I think it was last time. Ned Pyle, always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Thank you for spending the time.
Thank you very much, Richard.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.